Welcome back. Let's see if we can get this queued up real quick. I'll give you the end of, gosh, you know, where do we draw the line on this, though? The whole thing is pretty darn good. I don't want to do the whole thing, but yeah, I guess we'll draw the line here. Oops, wrong button. It's only 7 minutes, 18 seconds. We'll skip to about halfway through. Do that. Jordan Peterson, for whatever we could fault him, has done, I think, a marvelous job of, you know, shining a bright light on what many people have written about. To me, I would say, you know, perhaps most notably Hayek. And, you know, I understand the problem, you know, with the Mont Pelerins telling us what the problem is and then offering a solution. I'm not discounting that at all, but, you know, the problem is the problem, and the more you dig into planners planning, the more you kind of go, yeah, that's a problem. You know, there are the planners planning the planning, for example, which reminds me of Griffin's story of Ivy Lee interviewing Hitler and friends. So the, you know, the pre-planners are probably the ones we have to be the most concerned about. Anyway, here's, excuse me, the interview. Again, the YouTube clip is titled Stossel, Jordan Peterson versus Social Justice Warriors, quote unquote. Go ahead, please.
Or, as actress Ashley Judd puts it,
the problem is the patriarchy.
The patriarchy. Professors teach exactly that.
The United States is a patriarchal society.
First of all, I think the idea that, like, men tyrannically dominated everything is a pretty damn weak argument. The year 2000 to the year 2012, the rate of absolute poverty in the world fell by 50%. It's like, that's pretty good for a patriarchal tyranny. That was the fastest economic development in the history of the world.
But on campus, the message is inequality, oppression. Students major now in social justice.
Disciplines like women's and ethnic studies, which are corrupt right to the core.
I pledge to use they and them when I do not know someone's pronouns.
They're out to produce radical leftist activists by their own admission. All you have to do is go to the websites of these disciplines and look at how they advertise.
Social justice is different from justice. Social justice generally means justice for groups of people. It assumes every group, men, women, blacks, whites, should have the same income, job preference, everything. Peterson says this is an idea that comes from Marxist professors.
It's a little discredited now to say I'm a Marxist.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Except I think it's 1 in 5 social scientists identify as Marxist. So yeah, it's a little discredited, but it's nowhere near discredited enough. It should be as discreditable to say that you're a Marxist as it is to say that you're a Nazi.
It isn't. On campus, socialism is cherished, says Peterson, although it's murderous.
We've got 100 million corpses stacked up to demonstrate.
Murderous then, but they say those Stalin is a bad individual. Doesn't mean...
Yeah, so was Mao, so was Pol Pot. The thing is it was tried everywhere, and the end consequence was always the same. I've heard this all many, many times. That wasn't real communism. You know what that means? That means that if I would have been the benevolent dictator in the place of Stalin, then I would have brought in the utopia. There isn't a more narcissistic and toxic and inexcusable statement that you can possibly make.
We actually value the individual.
Peterson offers an alternative in videos that suddenly are being viewed by millions.
The individual has intrinsic value.
Peterson calls for the opposite of Marxism, individual sovereignty.
The free market principles, the idea of individual sovereignty above all else, has distributed itself across the world quite effectively, and everyone is doing better here than anybody has ever done on the face of the planet throughout recorded history, and the whole West is like that. And to call that all a tyrannical patriarchy is indicative of a very deep resentment and a historical ignorance that's so profound that it's indistinguishable from willful blindness.
Peterson says the best thing people can do to fight back against that blindness is to speak the truth, even when it's unpopular. Peterson follows his own advice. He says unpopular truths, and people like that. Almost a million have bought his book.
There you go. I think that's pretty well said. And then on the other side of the discussion, we have, the World Health Organization is doing their media briefing on COVID today. That's literally what the YouTube video is titled. I'm one of the 18 currently watching now that it's been streaming for the last 45 minutes or so. So that'll be interesting. We'll see what will emerge out of that. And it's just invariably the talking points that have been issued to the World Health Organization by, you know, the devil Bill Gateses that control the World Health Organization. Other things here, I want to get to the headline stuff that I was talking about, but a couple of things real quick. The Economist also did a video. This is talk about absurd propaganda. The Economist published a video September 30th titled, "Will COVID Kill Globalization?" Maybe they need to go check out Really Graceful's YouTube channel. It's actually been, it's been a boon, you know, or maybe they should get to know Klaus Schwab. I thought the folks at The Economist hung out and rubbed shoulders with Klaus Schwab every year in Davos. I don't know. Maybe they missed the memo. Just kidding. So I thought that was ridiculous. And then today, The Last American Vagabond published a video excerpt of the Daily Wrap. But more experts speak out about COVID-19 and the efficacy of masks. And, you know, speaking of that, the Beta Stadler interview, you know, Beta Stadler on masks, that's a good one. We should probably play that. They're all great. But more experts speak out about COVID-19 and the efficacy of masks. It's ridiculous. They have a ton of sourced information. So anyway, so the other stuff that I was going to mention, speaking of the headlines, I don't like doing this these days. I'm not interested in feeding the frenzy and the the blood in the waters of the echo chamber. People just don't understand the concept of Marxist conflict. And, you know, what they were discussing there, John Stossel and Jordan Peterson, cultural Marxism, this idea of, you know, pitting these identity politics groups against each other. It's all a setup. You know, again, Samuel P. Huntington, Clash of Civilizations, Francis Fukuyama, The End of History and The Last Man. And then, of course, after The End of History and The Last Man, you have Our Posthuman Future. Our posthumous future. That's what these guys want. It's the stabbing scene from Saving Private Ryan. We'll all stab each other and ourselves, and then, you know, they can move on with their grand technocratic utopian dream, the posthuman dream. We're all kind of in the way of the biotechnology revolution. And so if we could just get all these pesky people out of the way. Yeah. And once again, posterity's sake, Francis Fukuyama, what is it, page 86 and 87. Fukuyama tells us that genetic engineering is the new kinder, gentler eugenics. That's what it is. What is genetic engineering? How about this? What is genetic engineering if it is not precisely what this mRNA vaccine technology does? It's so dangerous, I would say, that the folks who are participating in human trials have to agree that they won't try to procreate because we don't know what the consequences of altered DNA are over the course of time. That's what it's doing. Messenger RNA is rewriting your DNA through these vaccines. That's fun. The way Fukuyama put it in chapter 6, why we should worry. And he quotes Huxley to open the chapter from Brave New World. And I've read this before, but you know, and he addresses the subject of eugenics before. I mean, it's unbelievable what Fukuyama wrote. It's concerning, but we're going to do it anyway. I mean, it's really something. So chapter 6, why we should worry, quotes Huxley's Brave New World. Take ectogenesis. Bitzner and Kawaguchi had got the whole technique worked out, but would the governments look at it? No. There was something called Christianity. Women were forced to go on being viviparous, which is an interesting, you know, upside down, backwards-ing reversal of language, as I've talked about before. So you know, this is a sort of a juxtaposition of Bertrand Russell, you know, saying in The Impact of Science on Society, you know, the natural method of childbirth, women would have to go on being viviparous. Oh, how disgusting. Really? That's just a bizarre kind of turn of phrase. Anyway, but this is how these people think. So Fukuyama just from the opening of the chapter, in light of the possible pathways to the future laid out in previous chapters, we need to ask the question, why should we worry about biotechnology? Some critics, like the activist Jeremy Rifkin, and as I always say, Rifkin is not a critic. He is a, you know, another amplified voice in the echo chamber, advancing the specious left-right paradigm, the, you know, dialectical advance. He's not opposition to anything. Go read Zero Marginal Cost, for Pete's sake. Some critics like activist Jeremy Rifkin and many European environmentalists have been opposed to innovation in biotechnology virtually across the board. Now, as you know, again, just a final point on that. As many folks have noted, there are folks that are called opposition who are not. They may differ on the specifics of how to get to a tyrannical, technocratic, you know, scientific dictatorship, but generally speaking, they agree on the whole of the plan. So maybe the specifics they disagree on somewhat. Anyway, continuing. Given the very real medical benefits that will result from projected advances in human biotechnology, really, that's an interesting assumption. What about the problems it creates? As well as the greater productivity and reduced use of pesticides coming from agricultural biotech, why do we have to use those in the first place? You didn't create them. I didn't create them. I don't want them. Well, because if we don't use them, we won't have... No. I've seen too much evidence to the contrary. Not enough evidence to support this scarcity nonsense. You know, like Gandhi said, the world has more than enough. How did he put it? Something like the world has more than enough to support everyone's need, but not everyone's greed. And it's not your greed or my greed that's in view here. It's the folks who say that they own everything, including you and I. So continuing, biotechnology presents us with a special moral dilemma, because any reservations we may have about progress need to be tempered with a recognition of its undisputed promise. See, it's inevitable. all of that inevitability talk. But then he gets into eugenics. Hanging over the entire field of genetics has been the specter of eugenics. That is, the deliberate breeding of people for certain selected heritable traits. The term eugenics was coined by Charles Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton. As I pointed out, that Galton wrote a letter to Darwin and said, "Congratulations, cuz, you freed us from the theological argument that all life is priceless. You know, the life of mankind is priceless, and, you know, now we can just say you're biologically inferior, therefore you must die. Congratulations." And that is, again, as one friend reminded me years ago, that's the full title of the book, for Pete's sake. It's not just On the Origin of Species, right? The title of the book is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, comma, or. On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, comma, or the Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. Whoa. What? Sounds like somebody was hanging out with Marx. Continuing from Fukuyama, Our Posthuman Future, Why We Should Worry, Eugenics. So, the term eugenics was coined by Charles Darwin's cousin Francis Galton in the late 19th century and early 20th century. State-sponsored eugenics programs attracted surprisingly broad support. Yeah. Not just from right-wing racists and social Darwinists, but from such progressives as the Fabian, yeah, and I think of, you know, the Lucius Trust Work of the Hierarchy when we talk progressives. Anyway, but from such progressives as the Fabian socialists, Beatrice and Sidney Webb and George Bernard Shaw, the communist J.B.S. Haldane and J.D. Bernal, and the feminist and birth control proponent Margaret Sanger. The United States and other Western countries passed eugenics laws permitting the state to involuntarily sterilize people deemed imbeciles, quote-unquote, while encouraging people with desirable characteristics to have as many children as possible. In the words of Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., quote, "We want people who are healthy, good-natured, emotionally stable, sympathetic, and smart. We do not want idiots, imbeciles, paupers, and criminals." The eugenics movement of the United States was effectively terminated with revelations about the Nazis' eugenics policies, which involved the experimentation of entire categories of people and medical experimentation on people regarded as genetically inferior. Since then, blah, 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 blah. And you and I know that's not actually the case. And it's ironic that Fukuyama himself then moves into genetic engineering, which is a natural outgrowth of the eugenics movement, or the natural progression of it, shall we say. Anyway, so he says, you know, there are two important objections to the those earlier eugenics policies that would most likely not apply to any eugenics of the future, at least in the West. The first was that eugenics programs could not achieve the ends they sought. That's an objection. It's just bizarre, his thinking on these things, given the technology available at the time. Oh, we're on a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's interesting. This really cuts, I think, you know, eugenics cuts to the heart of the discussion. You know, who's in charge? Who decides? I guess I'll continue from the excerpt from Fukuyama's Our Posthuman Future. Chapter 6, Why We Should Worry, and then the bizarre thinking, the line of thinking. There are two important objections to those earlier eugenics. The two objections he mentions are, yeah, non sequitur as far as I'm concerned, and entirely straw men. So, anyway, the first objection first was that eugenics programs could not achieve the ends they sought given the technology available at the time. That's just a weird statement. Weird. The second major objection to historical forms of eugenics is that they were state-sponsored and coercive. Again, weird. And Fukuyama knows that's not true. They weren't advanced by the state. They were infused into the state through institutions created by a very small coterie of individuals. So, again, dubious, to be kind. But continuing, he writes, genetic engineering puts eugenics squarely back on the table. But it is clear that any future approach to eugenics will be very different from the historical varieties, at least in the developed West. The reason is that neither of these two objections is likely to apply, leading to the possibility of a kinder, gentler eugenics that will rob the word of some of the horror traditionally associated with it. Again, the upside down and backwards thinking. Rob the word? Anyway, weird. The first objection, that eugenics is not technically feasible, applies only to the kinds of technologies available in the early 20th century, like forced sterilization. Advances in genetic screening currently allow doctors to identify carriers of recessive traits before they decide to have children. And in the future, might allow them to identify embryos that carry a high risk of abnormality because they have inherited two recessive genes. See, this is the weird notion. I mean, back to Jordan Peterson, you know, talking with John Stossel, saying, you know, it's who decides. You know, Jordan Peterson, you know, I would be the benevolent dictator. There isn't a more narcissistic and toxic and inexcusable statement that you can possibly make. And you know, the end consequences are the same. How did he say it? A very deep resentment and a historical ignorance is so profound that it's indistinguishable from willful blindness. People with like unbounded hubris thinking that they can decide better. And but then there's the other issue I'll get to in a minute. So continuing, Fukuyama writes, information of this sort is already available, for example, in, to individuals from a population such as Ashkenazi Jews who have higher than normal probabilities of carrying the recessive Tay-Sachs gene. Two such carriers may decide not to marry or to have children. In the future, germline engineering offers a possibility that such recessive genes could be eliminated from all subsequent descendants of a particular carrier. It's kind of like it's the genetic equivalent of what Ray Kurzweil wrote in The Age of Spiritual Machines. Direct neural pathways to the brain have been perfected, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We can bypass or augment or replace certain regions of the brain, including but not limited to visual pattern recognition and long-term memory. Anyway, in the future, germline engineering offers a possibility that such recessive genes could be eliminated from all subsequent descendants of a particular carrier. If the treatment were to become cheap and easy enough, it is possible to conceive of a particular gene being largely eliminated from entire populations. What if that fell into the wrong hands? There's a little bit more. We'll finish that when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Through this quickly. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, October 19th, 2020. Francis Fukuyama, Our Post-Human Future. This is a progression. You have, again, you know, a clash of civilizations. Samuel P. Huntington results in the end of history and the last man, Francis Fukuyama, which results in Our Post-Human Future. Yay! Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, Fukuyama. And this gets back to the article that I mentioned last Friday, World Economic Forum. Five facts you need to understand the new global order. The Economist asks, will COVID kill globalization? Yeah. Quit playing. We know you're playing there. So at the end of the article, the World Economic Forum article that I mentioned last week, five facts you need to understand the new global order. You see, this article forms part of the Phil Lind Initiative in U.S. Studies. Oh, you mean Marxism, cultural Marxism? I don't even know that you could call it cultural Marxism light. I would just call it cultural Marxism in Canada, aimed at the U.S. Phil Lind Initiative in U.S. Studies series. I wonder what Andrew Breitbart would have to say about the Phil Lind Initiative in U.S. Studies. On the future of the liberal order, the series is led by Robert Mugga. He's an interesting fellow. And Taylor Owen. And features Edward Luce, Steven Pinker, Anne-Marie Slaughter. Oh, you mean the Anne-Marie Slaughter who wrote A New World Order? Literally, The title of the book is A New World Order in 2004. And Francis Fukuyama. Oh, yeah, and Susan Rice and Misha Glennie. Interesting. Anyway, so Fukuyama is part of this discussion and a very influential sort of thought leader, these kinds of issues. Anyway, continuing with chapter 6, why we should worry if Fukuyama is our post-human future regarding eugenics. The second objection to eugenics, that it was state-sponsored, is not likely to carry much weight in the future because few modern societies are likely to want to get back into the eugenics game. What? Have you not? You know better than that. Come on. And again, it's people. It's not – governments are not organic creatures. They are comprised of people. And again, Lord Acton's words apply with force, which is why it's my understanding that we had separation of powers, limited government, blah, blah, blah. So virtually all Western countries, Fukuyama writes, have moved sharply in the direction of stronger protection of individual rights since World War II. And the right to autonomy in reproductive decisions ranks high among those rights. You know, unless you're, you know, an unborn child in a mother's womb, then, you know, my body, my choice, not so much. The idea that states should legitimately worry about collective goods like the health of their national gene pools is no longer taken seriously, but rather associated with outdated racist and elitist attitudes. Before I conclude with the last paragraph, I think it's, you know, it's obviously patently false. And around the time, this was published in 2002, Fukuyama knew better. He understands the trajectory of, you know, the Patriot Act, the post 9/11 Western world in particular, and the AUMF culture, which we're seeing applied to health these days. What we've seen emerge, what's been called Obamacare, you know, universal health care, the arguments that are made for all of these things always are very alluring and seductive and beguiling. But, you know, if you have total control over people's, you know, the health services people can receive, then think about the negative potential there. I just don't understand how people can't see that. And when I hear universal health care, I think of, Edwin Black's book, for example, War Against the Weak, Eugenics and America's Campaign to Create a Master Race. We still have guys like Bill Gates advocating for this kind of thing and actively advancing it through the Gates Foundation. And people speak out, you know, people will say, well, if that were true, Chris, then people would speak out. And people do. It's just that, you know, the Gates contingent has a vastly greater influence in the media and in terms of what gets amplified and what goes away. What does memory hold? Particularly on the web. So Fukuyama's straw man arguments that he tips over are very dubious and disingenuous, I would say. Anyway, the final paragraph he writes, the kinder, gentler eugenics that is just over the horizon will then be a matter of individual choice on the part of parents and not something that a coercive state forces on its citizens. Really? Because around the same time you were publishing this, Francis, we had the pandemic influenza response plans roll out in every state across this country. So, yeah. And now, you know, back then I remember people saying, oh, that's, you know, you're just being exaggerative. Well, here we are in a massive propaganda campaign. And, you know, Larry is sending me emails like World Vaccine Congress, World Economic Forum, businesses have a role to play in building vaccine trust. Here's why. So was it really exaggerative to think that, you know, bad guys are patient? And that's the Fabian way, right? That's why the tortoise. So the kinder, gentler eugenics that is just over the horizon will then be a matter of individual choice on the part of the parents, not something that a coercive state forces on its citizens. Right. Wink, wink. In the words of one commentator, quote, the old eugenics would have required a continual selection for breeding of the fit and a culling of the unfit. The new eugenics would permit in principle, and I have those three words underlined in my copy, permit in principle, would permit. Who decides to permit? The new eugenics would permit, in principle, the conversion of all the unfit to the highest genetic level. And this is, you know, where the rubber meets the road. Jordan Peterson said it very well, I think. A deep resentment, which is deeper than the cultural Marxist. It is, I would say, satanic in nature. It's this idea, man has been infected with this idea that, you know, and it's a very insidious kind of argument, basically that we're all unfit. And in a biblical sense, you know, we are the sin problem is that in effect, you know, we are all unfit. Like the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that, you know, God has an answer for that. God has a final solution. Maybe that's the wrong turn of phrase, but so the deep resentment is even deeper than I think what is addressed or alluded to in the Stossel Jordan Peterson clip we played. And to me, it gets to, so John chapter 8 in the Bible is interesting. There's this dust up that occurs. Verse 31 reads, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's a four-part conditional statement. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free? Have never yet been enslaved to anyone is always a sort of fun historical note. I always get a chuckle out of that. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And he goes on, and they go back and forth. And it gets pretty ugly, you know, where in verse 41, they say to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Anyway, they go on. And then in chapter 9, you get this story. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked, and this gets to that deep resentment, I would say, you know, we're all inherently flawed, and it's true. That's why that deception works so well, because we all are inherently flawed. So it's a very subtle and seductive and deceptive argument. And that's why cultural Marxism and this fear and self-loathing are so effective, I think. Anyway, so verse 2 says, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And I always think of this when when I think of eugenics. Who decides? And again, like Glenn and I were discussing earlier, where is God's opportunity to do miraculous things and bless people in ways that don't, you know, match up with the scientism of the day these days? Where are those opportunities? So the disciples ask, you know, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither this man that that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so he says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so, you know, then there is the, you know, he restores vision to this guy. It's, you know, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So how many opportunities are we preempting for that kind of thing? And I'm not trying to preach to anybody. It's a different point of view, I think. You know, speaking of this idea of Western freedom, which is something, again, that Hayek, you know, that was the abandoned road. That's chapter one of The Road to Serfdom. It's the abandoned road. And as Hayek put it, the essential features of that individualism, which from elements provided by Christianity and the philosophy of classical antiquity, was first fully developed during the Renaissance and has since grown and spread into what we know as Western civilization, are what? The respect for the individual man qua man, that is, the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. And I saw an interesting Washington Post article, getting back to some of that stuff, and we're running out of time. Maybe I'll come back to that. Which one was that? No, it was the New York Times article, actually. This whole mask deal. Is it a coincidence that Fauci's on 60 Minutes, CNN's talking about it today? Fauci says the president views masks as weakness, a sign of weakness, and that gets amplified in the echo chamber, of course. So the article, New York Times article, there is a word for why we wear masks, and liberals should say it. It's high time Democrats played some philosophical offense on the concept of freedom, by Michael Tomosky. It's a very interesting article, and it gets right to the heart of this issue that the eugenicists talk about. I mean, Fukuyama, you know, is telling us, and you know, from Hayek to Fukuyama to Michael Tomosky, this is subject that's in full view. And there are a few particular excerpts from this article I want to give you. Maybe we can squeeze those in the next segment here. I think we're going to break. So I'll give you those excerpts when we come back. Stick around, more after this break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, October 19th, 2020. This also reminds me of the RAND Corporation monograph, The Advent of Net War by John Arquilla and David Ronfeld. When I look at the New York Times article and the main image that's featured, a Trump rally in Pennsylvania this month, you know, the guy with the colonial hat on, and you know, it sounds like it's lifted right out of the Advent of Net War. How amazing, you know, using the internet. There's the distinction. So Arquilla and Ronfeld draw the distinction. Just, you know, if you go to chapter two, you see the distinction between cyber war and net war. And so cyber war is high intensity conflict. Middle range conflict, the way they put it, it's HICMRC, And net war, by contrast, is low-intensity conflict and operations other than war, or LIC/OOTW, which isn't that what we're seeing predominantly. Anyway, so the operative excerpt from this article, New York Times article, there's a word for why we wear masks, and liberals should say it. It's high time Democrats played some philosophical offense on the concept of freedom. It's garbage, but here's a relevant excerpt. I have to come back to this tomorrow. The word I mean is freedom. Tomosky writes, the word I mean is freedom. One of the key authors, and tell me, I mean, it's just a setup. Listen, one of the key authors of the Western concept of freedom is John Stuart Mill. And I thought, you know, when I read this, I thought, I wonder what Lark would have to say about that. Justifying the opium trade, you know, in On Liberty, he wrote, So in On Liberty, he wrote that liberty or freedom means doing as we like, subject to such consequences as may follow without impediment from our fellow creatures, as long as that what we do does not harm them, even though they should think our conduct foolish, perverse, or wrong. Yeah, I think we need to define terms because, anyway, continuing, he writes, note the clause, as long as we do, as long as what we do does not harm them. He tossed that in there almost as a given. Indeed, it is a given. This is a standard definition of freedom, more colloquially expressed in the adage, your freedom to do as you please with your fist ends where my job begins. Or as creepy Alan Dershowitz put it, you know, at the tip of my nose, right? Now, conservatives revere Mill. Again, I don't know. Let's define terms. But today, in the age of the pandemic, Mill and other conservative heroes like John Locke would be aghast at the way American right-wing bandies about the word freedom. So freedom emphatically does not include the freedom to get someone else sick, he writes. And there's more. I'll probably continue this tomorrow. We'll pick up here and continue on. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.